Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. You can say that the superintendent's office at South San ISD has a revolving door. They've seen five supers there in the last 3 years. The most recent one is Abel Saavedra. He was hired just before Christmas to work a four-month contract at a salary reported at $169,000. Meanwhile, some say the Board of Trustees at South San is dysfunctional and that they want the Texas Education Agency to step in and take some measures there. What do you want to see happen at South San ISD? Call in at 210-614-8980, 614-8980. You could also email your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org. With us to discuss South San ISD, the San Antonio Express News education reporter, Francisco Vara Horta, and we also have Julian Trevino. He is a UTSA lecturer specializing in educational leadership. And later on, we expect to hear from City Councilman Ray Saldana, who has sent a letter to the TEA asking for some sort of intervention or investigation at South San. So, Francisco, let me ask you, what we've heard a lot about the theatrics at these trustee meetings, and you've been there personally. You've witnessed these things. What has happened?
Well, this last year has been a big year for South San as far as a lot of changes in their leadership. They've had three superintendents alone in this year, and the trustees say they're interim before their name, so that it's not fair to say that there's been that many changes, but there have been three people that have been in charge of the district, as well as the boards changed over. You've seen Helen Modla and Rosemarie Martinez both be board president and both wrestle the power away from one another in this process, and I've had teachers and staff tell me that they're concerned about the overall future of the district and who's really in charge.
So let me ask you, Julian, UTSA lecturer, and you know a lot about how these boards are supposed to operate. Is it fair to say that there have been five superintendents there in the last 3 years, or that does that interim somehow cleanse this?
We need to understand that a superintendent and an interim work for the board. The board the board and the superintendent form a governance team, and as a superintendent, they're a part of the team. They're a junior member of the team, so the board has to be functioning as a team. So a superintendent can certainly help to get the board functioning.
But having so many superintendents coming and going, is that a sign of something? Is that a red flag that we've got some dysfunction here?
Yeah, well, absolutely. Sadly to say, there are some dysfunctional telltale signs there, as there are in some other democratic institutions. It's very obvious that there are some signs there that there is some dysfunction taking place.
This $169,000 contract for this new interim superintendent, is that out of the ordinary? That seemed like a lot of money.
From when you look at superintendent salaries, they can range. In some charter school districts, they're high. But for the most part, you don't see something that high at traditional public school districts. The reason that trustees okayed it, they told me, was because it was difficult to find a suitable candidate to take the job, because South San, to their lament, has become a bit of a pariah as far as leaders wanting to come in and take over after what they've seen the last 3 or 4 years.
Okay, so heard about the trustees walking out of the city trustee meetings and breaking quorum. And that happened at a recent meeting. That's a big sign of dysfunction at a board meeting.
I've been to several South San meetings, and when that happened, I did see jaws drop in the room. And people tell me there that have been watching this for a few decades that they are used to some kind of theatrics, but to the point where now trustees are both not – they're not able to get along to where they can all sit in a room and vote for or against something – really worries people about what business can get done moving forward.
And one particular trustee, one board member, JoJo Savage, He was elected in the November 2012 election, and he won with 346 votes. That's not his margin of victory. That's the total vote that he got to become a board member. His margin of victory was actually 44 votes. And he's the one that he put – what did he do with the stuffed animal?
Well, he's been one of the more vocal board members who's come on in the last couple of years. He was upset about the operating procedures, which are essentially just rules that a board can pass on how they should behave themselves. He thought they went overboard, and so he referenced the Declaration of Independence, the preamble to the U.S. Constitution, the Treaty of Versailles, and then called this list of rules, quote, one of the most ridiculous documents on political history. He then said, quote, if Dante had written a 10th circle of hell, I believe it would be right here in this boardroom between greed and wrath. He then took out a teddy bear and a sign that said no with 3 exclamation points, placed it near his nameplate, and said that the stuffed animal resembled a puppet, and said that that's what the board essentially wanted. So he got up and left.
This Jojo Savage, he's also been – it's been reported that he is appointed himself to be the play-by-play man calling out the football games for the South San, I think the JV team. He gave himself an office and also he would show up on campus unannounced to do like spot inspections. These are things – that's not in the – you know, Mr. Trevino, that's not typical, right?
No, well, in all of my years, David – of consulting, training, and serving as a school board member and president of school board, I learned that many boards are confused about their work. They're not certain about what they are to do and how they should do it. I've also found that the biggest issues are how board members interact with each other, how they interact with the superintendent individually, and as board members. So it's what they lack is the knowledge of effective governance skills. And it's very obvious what's needed is training on effective governance skills.
And the TEA can provide that training.
TEA and private organizations and private entities can provide that.
Yeah, but the TEA can also force the school board members to attend that type of training.
I don't know that. Well, they can if there are times that they can step in. I mean, times that legislators can force the issue.
I mean, I understand that the TEA has a lot of leverage. They can appoint someone to be like a consultant. A master who can actually override some of the decisions of the board. And TEA has the ability to clean – if things get totally out of control, they can clean out the board and reappoint a board of managers.
There is nothing in the law, to my knowledge, that they can – a board member can be recalled, to the best of my knowledge.
Well, there's a brand new law that went into effect on September 1st that allows for the recall of school board members.
Well, they can when the legislator, as I said, when they can step in, where they can find – financial malfeasance.
Right, either incompetence or financial malfeasance.
Right.
And that has to be declared by a judge.
That's correct.
Who first kicks that off.
That's correct.
All right, well, we're going to continue this conversation about South San ISD. It has become a news sideshow, but it's also we've got kids here and their education is put at risk. We want to hear what the listeners think about this. The number to call to join the conversation is 614-8980, 614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. We're going to be right back.
Good afternoon. It's 3:45. I'm Steve Short with a look at San Antonio traffic. There's a report of an accident on westbound Loop 1604 at Blanco on the north side. Also on the northwest side, watch out for an accident reported on eastbound Loop 410 at Vance Jackson. Going to be mostly clear tonight with a low around 39. It'll be partly sunny on New Year's Day with a high near 63. Currently, it's 54 degrees in San Antonio.
All year long, you count on Texas Public Radio to bring you world-class news and analysis that help make sense of the world. As this year draws to a close, we're counting on you. Listener contributions are the most reliable source of funding that keeps independent journalism possible. As you consider your end-of-year giving, please remember TPR. Your tax-deductible gift will ensure another year of indispensable radio. Make your contribution today online at tpr.org.
You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. South San ISD, founded 1922, occupies 21 square miles of south part of San Antonio around our bases. And it's got about 10,000 students for the entire school district. Not a big school district, but they are causing big news by some of the antics of the school board leadership. And we've got some local leaders in City Hall who want the Texas Education Agency to step in and investigate or intervene somehow. One of the people who has sent a letter to the TEA doing that is City Council Member Ray Saldana, who represents part of that part of San Antonio. And Councilman Saldana, are you there?
Yes, Dave, I'm here. Thank you for having me.
So tell me about the letter that you sent to the TEA. What were you asking?
Yeah, I mean, essentially what we've asked, and I asked personally as not only a resident from the area, but the councilman who represents, is that, you know, my business is not really what goes on in the school or the school board, but it is the business of an overseeing body, which in this case is the TEA, to make sure that, you know, the business of how that school is run, the conduct of board members is not, you know, detrimentally affecting the students. And there's been a history and a pattern of that in the past. And so we've asked them to step forward and open up, you know, an investigation and intervene if necessary, if the facts bear out, but really truly just to have a third party who is unbiased and takes a look at what's going on within the financial department and also the conduct of board members and what type of effect that's having on the 10,000 students there.
Board members involved in this, like Helen Madla and Connie Prado, they're saying, butt out, Ray Saldana, this is none of your affair.
Yeah, you know, I completely hear that point, but, you know, I can't take off my hat as a resident there, as a person who has two younger brothers who still attend that district, somebody who graduated from there. They can't keep me from caring.
Are you getting residents, are your constituents, are they telling you to do something?
Yeah, you know, people ask me how, you know, why I decided to write the letter to ask for intervention. And in my 2.5 years, I've had just a number of calls and concerns from people who are afraid to speak out about the issues that they see going on at South San. And for a long time, what has happened is really everybody's been sitting on their hands. And the status quo has been to really just cross our fingers and hope that things get better. And so we just haven't felt that that is the remedy in this case. And, you know, it really has reached a boiling point that the residents, the community has said that enough is enough. And we want to see something happen. And in this case, we'd like the TEA, the overseeing body, whose business this is, to come and take a look. And I'm not asking for myself to get into the business there, but I'm asking for a third-party, unbiased observer to come in and see.
Now, the TEA has a lot of leverage in what they can do. What would you like to see the TEA do?
Well, certainly the first portion of any step is to make sure that they've reviewed the facts. And those are pretty simple and straightforward with respect to the financial department. And I think that, you know, there's some cases to be made there. And if it warrants extra intervention, that happens. But the tougher thing is to really find out what is going on with, you know, the revolving door at the superintendent position. Why is it that, you know, superintendents who are otherwise very qualified are not able to do their job? And it really boils down to the board members who, some have said, I have not let them do their job.
Some people are saying that you filing this letter and taking this stand against the, asking for help with South San ISD is really an act of political courage on your part, because people like Helen Madla and Connie Prado, they're kind of, you know, they're political heavyweights in that part of town, and that's the area that you represent, and they could help, you know, be influential in keeping people from voting for you again.
Sure, and you know, I think a lot of people have wondered and asked the question as to why things haven't changed in the past before. Why hasn't anything been done? And that certainly could be a reason, is that there's been this cultivation of fear in the environment in the area where, you know, going up and speaking against what you believe is the right thing to do is something that gets you reprimanded, something that gets somebody close to you, in peril of either losing a job or having some issue outside of that district. So what we need to do is all step up together as a collective. The community, I think, has seen this letter and the starting of the conversation as a signal that we need to get involved and we need to rise up and make sure that, you know, our folks, our 10,000 students are taken care of, because the community is really seeing the consequences of sitting on our hands and doing nothing.
Okay, let's take some callers here. Let's get Robert on the air. Robert's called in. Welcome to The Source, Robert. Go ahead.
Well, thank you very much for taking my call. Look, I'm a graduate of 72. I remember back then The district had problems where we had half-day classes because the teachers walked out because of these type of problems over a summer. I think it's time that somebody intervenes. I congratulate Mr. Saldana for having the courage to send this letter, and I think we need to do what's good for the children of this district, and the heck with the politics. These ladies don't like it, move aside, but they have to do the job for the benefit of the kids, and this job hasn't been done for a long time.
Robert, thank you for your call. I appreciate that. Let's get another caller on the air. Let's get Joanne here. Joanne, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Okay. You know what? I've lived in San Antonio all my life. We saw this happen with that Edgewood kind of thing that went on for years and years and years and years. Some people just should not be given any power. I don't care if it's the President of the United States or someone who sits on a school board. Not everybody can handle it. When they start acting like children, the whole thing, everybody should be cleaned out. $167,000? That's obscene. Anybody who works in a school position, everybody knows you get base pay. You don't do it for the money. You do it for the gratification, the fact that you're an American and you're going to make us a better country. That's what you do it for. The money is never, ever, please, look at these poor teachers. They don't make any money. How dare he even accept that kind of money? How dare we make that kind of an offer to that person?
All right, Joanne, thank you for that call. Appreciate it. So she mentions the politicians and how, you know, these people, that they were elected. They had elections. People get elected. According to the South San ISD figures, there are 21,289 eligible voters residing within their boundaries. But you look at the anemic numbers from the election, and this is from November 2012. This is when we had a presidential election. And, you know, just a handful of voters are able to make the difference and get people elected to on the board of trustees. So, Ray Saldana, what are you about getting higher voter turnout in that area, people involved?
Sure. You know, I think that's what is the most difficult part of really speaking up on this issue, because you would hope that the duly elected officials who were, you know, selected by the community would have the sort of wherewithal to take care of business and make sure that the operations are running. But when you have elections that are being decided by 360 people, where thousands are registered to vote and thousands of people are affected, it begs the question of, who are they responsible to and how are they held accountable? Because if, you know, we certainly don't have amnesty to, you know, do whatever we want to get done in 2 years without any consequence or accountability. And so in this case, we're just making sure that that accountability is being met, and hopefully the TEA will step up to make sure that that happens.
Jillian Trevino, a UTSA lecturer specializing in educational leadership and former board member yourself, what do you think about what's happening with South San ISD? What do you want to see happen?
Well, I would like to say that as a trainer and consultant, and repeat what I say, that I see that the roles, responsibilities, and relationships are paramount in this, second only to national security. The nation's highest priority should be the educating all of our children, and school boards are at the top of the list in responsibility for this. And I would be willing to offer my services free of charge to work with this board and in any way that I can, as I said, in providing the knowledge for effective governance skills.
Let's get another caller on the air. John is standing by. John, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. I think maybe a systemic approach to this idea that public funds are spent in ways that don't serve the public interest. We could, just a brief digression, look at the food stamp program. If most people didn't think that serves the public interest to use food stamps to purchase junk food, maybe a wide swath of the population thinks it serves the public interest to allow fresh fruits and vegetables, whole grains and beans, no animal products. That would reduce the health care costs, and if it has a broader support, then we don't see cuts in that program because the people support it. So the analogy is, if we see a lot of money spent on wasted administrative costs, and if a random survey shows that most people don't think that serves the public interest, then maybe the overriding rule needs to be that 60-50, but we could take a random survey to know how strict should the standard be. Maybe 60% or two-thirds of the people need to agree this serves the public interest. Let's use public funds for it.
All right, but we have the kids. We have to worry about how this is impacting the students. And so let me ask you, Francisco Varaota over at Express News, any evidence that this is impacting education standards?
Well, that's one of the most difficult parts of this to measure. That's something that you don't usually get to see until years down the road. But Mr. Saldana made note of some test scores that have gone down in his letter. And I've had some parents tell me that they're worried that morale's been low. And so you've seen some very qualified administrators leave and that the test scores would probably be higher if that were the case. Usually when academics start doing really poorly is when you see a major state intervention. Only 12 districts of the 1,200 have a monitor or a conservatory right now.
And also we've seen at least the last 10 years of deficit spending budgets. They've been spending down their cash reserve quite dramatically. That's going to catch the eye of the TEA. It should catch the eye of the taxpayers in that school district.
It very well could. I mean, it's gone down from $25.1 million in 2008 to $14.8 million this year.
They can't go much. I mean, they're spending through that quite quickly, like a drunken sailor, you know, so that's alarming. Okay, we're out of time. I want to thank you guys, for Councilman Saldana, thank you so much for joining us on the air, on the phone, and giving us information. Also, Julian Trevino, UTSA lecturer specializing in educational leadership. Francisco Varaota from the Express News reporter covering this beat. Thank you so much. This is The Source on KSTX. Have a great new year.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. David Martin Davies is executive producer and host. Paul Flav is the show's producer. Management and oversight comes from VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.